And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.
What's going on, everyone out there? It is the NFL Exporter checking in. You already know what time it is. It is the extra point, and we got a great show, as always, lined up for you today. Excuse me. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Obviously, the big thing that's going on tonight, got a very good Monday Night Football game. New York Giants are hosting the Indianapolis Colts, and as always, there is somebody who needs players to do well. There are some people who need players to not do so well to determine the final outcome of their Week 9 matchup. And so we'll definitely be talking about that game. I know that I'm quite sure people have Eli Manning, tight end Larry Donald, wide receivers Reuben Randall, Odell Beckham Jr., running back Andre Williams for the New York Giants. For the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck, Ahmad Bradshaw, T.Y. Hilton, Dwayne Allen, possibly Indianapolis Colts defense. I'm quite sure those are the suspects as well. And then Adam Vinatieri. I know that he is a kicker that is very popular this year. So a lot on the line tonight. Like I said, we're moving into Week 9, meaning starting this upcoming week, which is Week 10. You either have 4 or 5 weeks left in your fantasy football regular season. And so, man, you know, depending on how the standings are looking in your league right now, but I'm quite sure with that amount of time left, there's no room for error. We got to make sure you got the right guys in, utilize that waiver wire, make sure if necessary. I know that most leagues' trade deadlines are approaching, and so this is a very important time to make a move in fantasy football if you're planning on getting your teams in the playoffs. I'm going to bring on the line with me now, Mr. Victor Gardner, Mr. FSP, going to be joining us on the show today to chop it up about fantasy football that took place yesterday. How's it going today, Victor?
It's going, man. My team lost. I had a terrible week in Yahoo, but I'm killing it in ESPN. So I am one of the people you're talking about, Lance. I need a little bit of help from the lucky one, Andrew Luck. But also, one thing I wanted to mention that you don't really talk about, but it might help some folks out. If you're playing FanDuel or DraftKings, some of these players that Lance talked about and Jerry talked about yesterday, if you put the right combination together, you could have made some money. I did, and I'm still looking for Andrew Luck to do well tonight so I can get even more money. So I'm telling you, listen to the master plan. Sundays, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with JT along with Lance, and they'll follow it right back up, or Lance will, right here on The Extra Point. With that being said, the show is yours.
Okay, let's get into it. And before we get into the actual games, injuries, you know, we thought that this was something that was behind us. If you're familiar with the NFL by now, you know that every single year there are some major injuries, especially to some superstar caliber players. And so this year, we certainly seen the injury bug hit early and continue to mount up week after week after week. Then once we got to week 5 and 6, it took a little bit of a dive downwards, and then it was back up in week 7 and 8. Quiet again last weekend, and here we are this week. And so this is something that's lingering all season long, and it's going to have an effect. Now, the biggest injury that came out of yesterday's action was the Houston Texans running back, Arian Foster. Now, he's got a groin injury, and Victor will be able to help me out a bit here. I know that my day was so compact, and I apologize for that, but that's why Victor's here. That's why we got the internet and things of that nature, and I'm actually watching the show right now. So they're going on quite a bit. Let me see if I can just push ahead just a little bit here. But Arian Foster, running back of the Houston Texans, suffered a groin injury. And right now, and Victor will be able to help me on this, I believe that they were waiting on an MRI to determine the length of time that he is going to be out. But if you know Arian Foster, unfortunately, he has a history of hamstring growing issues. They're kind of in a similar area. He had back surgery in the offseason, had some calf issues in the preseason, and all of these things kind of tie hand in hand and work together. He was not even touched. He just went to run on a stretch play, and he just had to go down to the ground. And when you see him coming off the football field, very angry, threw his helmet, which probably means that he will not be in this week. So we have to get an extent on that injury. Let me get Victor in real quick before we continue on. There were a couple other injuries that were very notable yesterday. But, Victor, do you have anything for us as far as hearing anything about timetables, how long Foster might be out?
Well, I just read a little article that was published about an hour ago saying that Arian is day-to-day. But, ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. They've been working this man like a government mule first part of the season. If you listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics show on Saturday, Arian already had 180 or 160-something rushes, eight games, but he missed two of those games. So he had 160 or 7-plus rushes in six games. So his body is coming off surgery on his back and his knees, and he's had hamstring problems in the past. So this isn't looking good for him. Basically, with Arian Foster, you have to give it maybe 2 or 3 weeks before you can consider him being able to get back on the field. That also means that all those people that wanted Alfred Blue or is looking at Alfred Blue, you might want to go get him, because if he's not on your roster, he's going to get used a lot. That's it, Lance. Mr. Exporter, are you there? All right, let me take over while Lance gets himself together. He's talking about injuries and stuff. So let's jump right into one of the games where one of the biggest injury named persons, which is Tony Romo, and his Dallas Cowboys took on the Arizona Cardinals. Now, in this game, Carson Palmer didn't start off good. He threw an interception that got returned for a touchdown. But after that, Brandon Whedon turned around and did three interceptions himself. And I believe one TD. But the thing about this game was DeMarco Murray, his 100-yard tear ended. He was no longer a factor because teams were not, or the Cardinals, who blitzed like crazy, made a point to stop DeMarco Murray. I believe he had 17 rushes for 76 or 80-something yards. And the word is that there's a lot of dissension in the Cowboys' locker room because of their performance. Now, a lot of that can be blamed on Brandon Whedon because he was throwing balls behind people, just low. He just looked very bad. And there's supposedly some controversy going on there. I don't know. So
nope,
go ahead, Lance. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, I apologize. I was just telling you, I certainly agree there. Go ahead.
Well,
yeah, no,
Are you ready, or you need me to keep going? Let me know now.
Oh, no, I'm good to go. I apologize about that. Didn't mean to cut in. I just was more or less letting you know that I was back with you. So go ahead. Go ahead and finish your analysis, and I'll take back over. Bye.
Okay, cool. Basically, what I'm getting to is, fantasy-wise, you thought that, you suffered if you had Dez Bryant or if you had DeMarco Murray or any of the Cowboys on your team. I know Jerry was high on starting Terrence Williams yesterday, but it didn't look good as that Cardinal defense just made that team look very bad. I'm not sure even if Tony Romo had played, they would have done that much better than what they did. But that being said, Jerry Jones said that Romo's flying to London, and that means Tony Romo's going to play. I don't know if that's a smart move or not. I'll turn it over to Lance and get his thoughts on it, but that would be a very, very bad idea in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Appreciate that, Victor. And as we all know, Romo was hurt in week 8, but he missed yesterday's game, and he is somebody that is going to be a huge issue moving forward. And if you listen to us coming into the season, this was a main concern of Victor here. He was really concerned that Tony Romo, obviously from a football standpoint, as well as fantasy football standpoint, there was some risk involved because with a back injury, at any given time, anything can go wrong. And you see with him, he got kneed in the back. So it was more of a contusion, but it certainly caused some nerve damage and just triggered some other things that went on with that back surgery. And you knew that Tony Romo at some point in the season, was going to take some shots in that area, and it's never a guarantee that things are going to hold up. And so pretty much what you're seeing, and we'll hop into that game first right there. Let's say this first. There was no guarantee that Dallas was going to win this game, even if Tony Romo played. Arizona is a very disciplined, very sound, very talented, and a veteran team over there with Arizona. So, even if Tony Romo played, that was no assurance that the Cowboys were going to win. I think it was an assurance that, as Victor mentioned, Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray, and your fantasy players would have had better days. But this Arizona Cardinals team, they're the real deal. Look, they're 14-3 in their last 17 ball games, and so we'll talk about the winning team first. That being Arizona, Andre Ellington was one of my top 5 starts of the week. There was no question looking at this game on paper. This was a great matchup for him. This is a guy who could run inside. Definitely can get around the edge. If he got to the second level, this guy is someone who once he puts the afterburners on, not too many players are going to catch him from behind. And he's a big-time threat catching out of the backfield so much that he actually lines up at wide receiver a lot of times. I know from time to time, due to audibles or just personnel in the game, you'll see a running back go out at the wide receiver position. But he actually lines up. His head coach, Bruce Arians, actually said that he thinks Ellington is talented enough that if he wanted to, he could be a wide receiver in the NFL. And so great day for him yesterday. Had 17 fantasy points. And I love what he's doing. I always keep it 100. I wasn't overly high on Ellington in the preseason because there was a lot of hype surrounding him, and I just was not sure. He came into the season with a foot injury. The Cardinals' offensive line hadn't shown the ability to run block that well, and so I was a little bit skeptical. A lot of people were trying to draft him like in the third round and saying that he was going to basically be a Jamal Charles this year, and my thing was, Jamal Charles was an established back in this league. Ellington coming into his second year, let's make sure he could handle the workload. And putting a lot of pressure on this young man. And he was somebody who I thought it would be more appropriate to draft him around the 5th or 6th round. And so no matter where you got him at, he is turning an excellent value. He did a great job yesterday. Continues to shine. He's a guy who has had averaging 15 points over the last 4 games coming into yesterday. So I love the way he's playing. We talked about Carson Palmer. This was a guy here that we all know that Carson Palmer can sling the football. We all know that Carson Palmer can put up good points. Your 2 red flags about Carson Palmer coming into the season were him being injury-prone because he's a statue in that pocket. And number 2, he was a turnover machine. Well, this year, he's cleaned up those turnovers, and I think it has to do with the more weapons they provided him with. And he's been able to keep up. He missed a couple games with the shoulder injury. But he's been able to sustain his health. And so when Carson Palmer is healthy, and if he's not turning the football over, he's a shoo-in. You can count on 250 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a given. There's no question about that. The ceiling's up from there. Like Victor said, got to a tad bit of a slow start, throwing that pick 6. But after that, 249 yards, 3 TDs. And if you look at, again, what he has at his disposal, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, he's using his tight end, John Carlson. I think he's a guy we'll kind of factor in a little bit when we do the master plan this upcoming week. You got the two Brownies, they call them, the rookies, John Brown. I forget the other Brown's first name. You got Ted Ginn Jr. And then you have Ellington out the backfield. And so he's got a lot of weapons. And then we talked about Larry Fitzgerald. His success is tied to Carson Palmer being there. These two guys have a great relationship. He makes sure that Larry Fitzgerald is fed. And you've seen Larry Fitzgerald become motivated these last couple of weeks. You know, did you see Larry Fitzgerald last week against Philadelphia, yesterday against Dallas? Man, he's hopping up off the ground, pumped up. He's getting in his own teammate's face. And so when he's playing motivated, it works out for the better. The guy who's getting lost in the shuffle here is Michael Floyd. And so you want to watch that, but excellent game for your three-headed monster now, Carson Palmer, Andre Ellington, and Larry Fitzgerald. For the Dallas Cowboys, you heard Victor talk about it, and it was. It was Brandon Weeden's inability to throw the football. Now, I must admit, and I'm thinking that Victor, everybody else who watches football, the Cowboys organization, I don't know if it was a one-game show, but your backup quarterback shouldn't look that bad. Brandon Weeden, he looked horrible yesterday. Let's just deal with the facts here. Granted now, Arizona, one of the few teams in the NFL that can actually execute a game plan. And people thought I was crazy. I have to make sure that you follow us on Twitter, you get on our Facebook page, and for my top five sits of the week, I had a very difficult time finding players to sit because the matchups were favorable. I went through the lineups 1,000 times, and I just really couldn't find too many players to tell you to sit. So I posed a couple questions to you. And one of the questions I posed to you was, especially if Tony Romo did not play this Arizona Cardinals defense, and we talked about it yesterday on the master plan once we found out Romo wasn't playing, ranked fourth in the NFL against the run, only giving up 77 yards, haven't given up a 100-yard rusher all year, and they have the cornerbacks who can handle themselves in Antonio Cromartie and Patrick Peterson in man-to-man coverage, which would allow a team who's already tough against the run to possibly stick an extra man in that box from time to time. And could that possibly affect DeMarco Murray's numbers? And I didn't recommend you sit him. You can't sit a guy like him, but I just said, you know, this is a true test. And sure enough, I got a ton of people hitting me on Facebook and Twitter. You're crazy. How could you recommend sitting him? Blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't look so crazy now because he only had 17 carries for 79 yards. And that's only 21 yards short of 100. I honestly believe if Brandon Weeden was a little bit better and the Cowboys would have ran some better plays, I think this is a game that DeMarco could have touched that. But 79 yards, he's human. You know, first game, not over 100. But the guys who were affected and why Victor Jerry Jones is forcing Tony Romo to make this trip, because honestly, 10-hour trip overseas and back, not good for your back at all. And playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, this should be a game that they win. But the Cowboys are now 5-3. The playoff race is going to be very close. And Jerry Jones thinks that this team cannot – listen, if they thought they could beat Jacksonville, Tony Romo wouldn't be making this trip. But that tells me that there's some confidence issues going on with their defense, because let's face it, Jacksonville has played – a lot better the last month. They're no longer an easy out. And so your concern, if you have Dez Bryant, you know, DeMarco Murray's going to get his. They're going to run the football. You know, Arizona, very tough against the run, okay? Calais Campbell, Big Dan Williams, Darnell Dockett wasn't in there. But these guys, the last 2 years, they ain't giving it up on the ground, okay? Out physical. That's the first time we've seen the Cowboys defense, offensive line, get out physical this year, okay? So that's not going to be the case every year. You don't work to worry about DeMarco Murray. He's going to get his. But if you have Dez Bryant, if you have Jason Witten, if you have Terrence Williams, if Brandon Weeden is going to be the quarterback, you have cause for concern. And so I'm going to stop right there. Again, right now we don't know if Romo's going to play or not, but he's making a trip. And by all indications, the man who runs that team, you know, he's the only owner in the NFL, did you see getting interviewed after every single damn game? he is forcing Tony Romo to make that trip. And if Tony Romo can play, and it's sad because he could get out there and get hurt and they'd be doomed for the season. But if he can play, he's going to go. I'm going to let Victor chime in. Victor, go ahead. Talk to us about what you've seen out of Arizona, what you've seen out of Dallas, and more notably, maybe you could give a little insight as to how has a wide receiver Michael Floyd completely got lost in the bigger scheme of things here.
I'll tell you, and then I think so both of us can catch our breath. We need to take a break. But here's what I see. To be quite honest, Arizona, when Carson Palmer was gone for I think it was like a 4-week period or something like that, Drew Stanton and whoever the other quarterback was saw other receivers other than Larry Fitzgerald. The old guy, Carson Palmer, who does he have a comfort zone with? Larry Fitz. Stanton did not. So Stanton looked for Michael Floyd. Nobody else was looking for Michael Floyd. He had, I think, 4 targets last week. He dropped 1 touchdown last week. The Brown brothers are getting more looks than he is. I'll be frank with you. Jerry has often said that that Larry Fitz is going to be supplanted by Michael Floyd, and for a while it looked that way. But as long as Carson Palmer is the quarterback, that is not going to happen. Larry Fitzgerald's stock went way up once Carson got back in the game. I mean, you can just tell. He has a better comfort zone with Fitz. Now, on the other side of the ball, you know, the Cowboys' front line, it wasn't that bad. But when they couldn't catch that blitz from the Redskins Monday night, it became apparent that they were definitely not going to be able to do much against the Arizona Cardinals' front line. Even, again, with all the injuries. Donnell Dock is gone for the year. Calais Campbell just coming back from having a knee issue, got 4 tackles. Their corners are okay, but not spectacular. Todd Bowles is doing a wonderful job with that defense. Probably one of the best things that Arizona did was move the Honey Badger from corner or their nickelback to safety because the man has the ability to cover. He's not a great cover corner, but he can cover, but he has range. He has great range, which allows Todd Bowles to blitz a lot. And if you're going to blitz and you have a safety that can cover halfway decent and has good speed, oh, it's on like Donkey Kong, bro. And I think that's the thing that's going on with the Arizona Cardinals. They just have a formula that works for them and players that are very good in their system. I challenge you.
Yeah.
Other than Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who's the other quarterback? Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie went to New York, right? So,
yep.
You got Patrick Peterson, who's getting torched this year, but that's it. You don't know nobody else. But anyway, I digress. It's your show. I'm going to let you do what you got to do. But we've been talking about this one game for about 24 minutes now, so I just wanted to let you know you got to get to a break at some point and do your thing.
Yep, no problem at all. We're going to catch a quick break after. I just wanted to say that if you look at what's going on, though, with the NFC West, how Arizona has snuck up on everybody and why the Rams are such a tough out, they've seen San Francisco and even Seattle. San Francisco got on top of that division by stacking a stout defense. Therefore, the Seahawks went out, drafted players, stacked up a stout defense, and then the Rams and Cardinals said, we need to go and do the same thing. So if you look at that division, they all blueprinted the 49ers, and that's what makes these defenses so tough in that NFC West is because the brand of football. Let's establish the run and play tough defense. And when you see that, like I said, if they were healthy, you're talking about a defense with Darnell Dockett, Dan Williams, and Calais Campbell up front, Darrell Washington, and Kevin Minter, who's playing extremely well. This is the second year out of LSU. You're looking at them in the middle. You got Peterson and Cromartie on your corners, not Dominic Rogers Cromartie, but Antonio Cromartie. Came up from the Jets, and like Victor said, they're sound enough. Let's put it that way. They get beat, but they also make plays. And then, like he said, wise move putting a honey badger at safety. And so that's why Arizona's thriving. Let's go ahead and get to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll go ahead and start getting around the NFL for the rest of our games. The NFL Explorer, Victor Gardner, the Extra Point. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety. Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Extra Point. It's me, CFSP, sitting in co-hosting with your great and wonderful Lance, the NFL Exporter. Lance, we're back from commercial. It's your show. Run with it, my friend.
Okay, let's get it going, everybody. Let's get into the games from yesterday. Cleveland beat Tampa Bay 22-17. The first thing that you want to do, your waiver wire pickups this week, you want to look at Terrence West. He's a guy who a lot of us picked up earlier in the season, did well. Look, this is the situation going on here. It is confirmed now, okay? We have been wondering. We talked about this yesterday on the show. The Browns lost their starting center, Alex Mack, 3 weeks ago when they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-10. Since that time, the last three games at Jacksonville, at home against Oakland, yesterday at home against Tampa Bay, this team is averaging 55 rushing yards per contact. Ben Tate was one of my top six of the week, and he sure enough did not disappoint with 2 points. This guy has scored 3 points, 8 points last week because he found the end zone and a goal line carry, only had 26 rush yards. Yesterday, this guy did not have a single rushing yard. He had 30 yards through the air. They pulled him about halfway through that game. Terrence West took over. Not much more success, 15 carries, 48 yards, did have a receiving TD. But if you have Ben Tate, I think the run might be over. I got on Twitter a couple weeks ago as well as Facebook, and I criticized offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan because he said that he wished that one of the running backs, that being Ben Tate, Terrence West, or Isaiah Crowell, he wished one of those guys would basically emerge as the starter. And I laughed and I said, you know, you're trying to get people to do your job for you. You're the offensive coordinator. You make that choice. It's evident for all of us to see that Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West look better than Ben Tate, but I understand there was an investment made in the offseason as a free agent pickup. So they had to give him every opportunity to succeed. He'll probably still get some playing time, but that you want to be careful. That Browns running game has sputtered. It is confirmed now. I didn't want to put it out there too quick, but three straight games, 55 yards running the ball, you're still going to have to play against Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, your own division. Excuse me, not Pittsburgh. They beat them twice. But you have to play against Baltimore and Cincy. Again, a tough AFC schedule. And so Terrence West is the guy that I believe is going to take over, and you'll see starting next week. So So you want to get him on your waiver wire ASAP this week. But their running game is in big-time trouble. Alex Mack being out at center, it has caused his whole offensive line to go in disarray. When you're looking at what they did in the air, Brian Hoyer was average, 300 yards, two TDs, two picks. Next week, Josh Gordon comes back. We have been really advising people maybe about the last month. And Victor even advised people, I would say, maybe week three or four, you know, as soon as it broke that he was going to be available. And so perhaps he could help jumpstart their offense, you know, cause some defenses to push back a little. Now, again, with 4 to 5 weeks left in your fantasy season, if you're not going to make the playoffs, having Josh Gordon on your team is only going to help you to play spoiler, and I'm all with that. You know, if you can't get in, help somebody not get in as well. But if you are looking to make the playoffs, he's somebody you want on your team. Look, he was already one of the most physically gifted players. If you ever see this guy's physique, one of the fastest players. Coming in fresh legs, fresh body, he's going to be trouble. So I can't guarantee you, you know, from week one he's just going to kill it. But he's just someone you want on your fantasy football team. But Cleveland's offense is just real shaky right now. As for the Cleveland's defense, though, they continue to ball out. I had them for a few weeks now in my Yahoo League, and that's the one constant about this team, that their defense shows up every single week. You look on the flip side of the ball for Tampa Bay, struggles continue. But you do like Mike Evans. We talked about him on the show yesterday, that he is someone who could definitely help your team. Now that he's back in, besides Lewis Murphy, at over 100 yards, two TD receptions. They play the Falcons this week, and we all know their defense is horrible. So Mike Evans is a nice pickup for your fantasy team. Vincent Jackson, he was one of my top sits of the week. He did have 86 receiving yards, so you respect that. But finding the end zone is what it's all about. The main guy that you want to focus on now is Bobby Graham. We talked about picking him up. He had an effective game. Now, he got lost. I thought he was going to get 100 yards. He had 17 carries for 80 yards at halftime. But they basically abandoned the run because the man finished with only 19 carries. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, I didn't watch that game play by play. I don't know how he got lost in the shuffle, but he did have 110 all-purpose yards. And we all talked about how Bobby Rainey looked better than Doug Martin as was. And so he is now going to be the starter. I do not think they're going to go back to Martin if he can play. Missed that game with an ankle injury. And everybody's talking about Charles Sims. But, again, getting off an ankle injury, so he's going to be worked back into the lineup. He's rusty. It's not going to be a situation where he's just going to come in and put up big fantasy numbers. So Bobby Rainey is your guy. Mike Evans, a good waiver wire pickup. Victor, talk to me. Anything that I did not touch base on or some other extra points that you would like to add to that Cleveland-Tampa Bay game?
I like that segue. Extra points. You know, you touched on something big because I'm one of those guys that suffered because Ben Tate got pulled. If you're in any type of league, Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell have probably already been snatched up. So your best hope, if you're going to hold on to Ben Tate, is to see if, you know, Mike Patine is going to get Tate some run because of what you said, Lance. They made a huge financial investment. Now, some people I see on the waiver wire that could help you out that people probably aren't thinking about is a person like Christian Michael. Okay? They're not going to get that many touches, but if you're in a bind and you find out that Ben Tate is not going to be there for you, maybe it's time to pick him up. Another player that might not get you that many touches or yards is a guy like Donald Brown. Yes, he's going to split time with Oliver, and when Ryan Matthews gets back, he's going to probably split time there as well. But Ben Tate does not look very good in this game, I mean, from this point on. Now, a young guy, and I don't want people to get too excited, Gabriel, the rookie wide receiver, he looked good at the demise or expense of Miles Austin, who I don't think will be back. Now, another guy you need to look out for who's coming off suspension in a week or two is, guess who, Josh Gordon. So when he comes back, you might see a reemergence of Cameron Jordan and other players. So if he's on a waiver wire somewhere, I think he comes back this week or next week. No, after Thursday night's game. So it'll be week 11. I believe he'll be back. So that gives him a week and a half of practice. You might want to target him. But in this game, Lance was right. You know, it was all about Cleveland and the changing of the guard at running back. I mean, that's all I got for you, my friend, but that's what I saw.
Okay, sounds good. Let's go ahead and move on to our next game. We've seen Philadelphia beat Houston 31-21. And we talked about Arian Foster already. So, again, fantasy owners, high risk, high reward. He was a guy who, when I did my running back ranking, his name was highlighted in red. And I just said that when healthy, and he's shown it this year, you can count him in for 100 yards. He's really surprised me this year with how well he receives out the backfield. He always had good hands on screens, but they're actually using him running routes. He had a beautiful catch yesterday on an out and up that he beat linebacker Michael Kendricks and was able to get in the end zone. But I think the injury couldn't come at a worse time for fantasy owners. This is a guy that you have been riding the majority of your season, have come to count on. And like Victor said, it's day-to-day, but if you know a growing injury, and then it's Foster, who has had numerous problems with hamstring injuries as well, and those two muscles are very close together, this is an issue. I do not think he would have threw his helmet down if the injury wasn't more significant than what appears to be. And so you've got to find a way to make a move. Hopefully, maybe you took advantage of the waiver wire the last couple weeks. Hopefully you got your hands on Denard Robinson, Mark Ingram, Bobby Rainey, Andre Williams, goodness, Jeremy Hill. You know, there were some good backs out there, so hopefully you got your bases covered. But I think that this is going to be a problem. I don't think we're going to see him healthy the rest of the year unless he's for an extended period of time. Looking at what else happened in Houston, DeAndre Hopkins continues to be the top target, 116 yards, touchdown. Let's just face it, Ryan Fitzpatrick either can't or doesn't want to get the ball to Andre Johnson. And so he's an afterthought. You know, we all thought there was some hope that game when he had 99 yards and a touchdown against Indianapolis, and Fitzpatrick basically just threw him some back shoulder fades and just threw it in the coverage and let Dre go up and make plays. But just not a part of this offense. And if you're like me, I don't have him. But I got to the point where last week I had a couple guys like Marcus Coast and Reggie Wayne, and I'm just saying, you know what, if you've got one touchdown through 8 weeks of an NFL season, you're just not for me. You know, I can certainly understand if you're in deeper formats and injuries happen, and that's the only reason in one of my leagues I'm hanging on the wing in case T.Y. Hilton gets hurt, but I don't tolerate that type of business there. And so Andre Johnson seems to be a liability at this point. And Victor mentioned it. Now you look to Alfred Blue. I think he's a guy who can certainly step in your lineup and give you some top-notch production. So we talk about handcuffing, grabbing quick. For Philadelphia, the other injury, notable yesterday, Nick Foles. Now, a lot of people had him as a backup, myself included. I was able to grab Matt Stafford, but I grabbed Foles maybe in the eighth round for a security blanket. And, this is something that hurt me a little bit because both of these guys have been producing so well, I had the flexibility of going matchup-based. For example, last week, Foles gave me 33 points, and Stafford had 27. Foles yesterday also a hot start. Now, I play in a league where we do bonuses, over 300 yards, throwing a pass for over 50-yard touchdown, things of that nature. But in the first quarter, he already had a 59-yard touchdown to Jeremy Maclin. And if you see what Mark Sanchez did in backup work, Nick Foles was well on his way to a 300-yard, three or four TD passing day. So big loss there. He's got a broken clavicle. They've got to do an MRI to see how long, but a month at the minimum. And that hurts because when you look at Philadelphia's very favorable schedule, they play Carolina and then some easy, you know, some in division games. So that's a huge loss. I'm not quite sold on Mark Sanchez long term. I'll be interested to hear what Victor has to say about him. But nonetheless, the good thing that I think is different from what you're seeing in Dallas is it's a system that Chip Kelly has in place. So it didn't matter who was going to get in there. They're not going to dumb down or water down their offensive game plan. They went out and got a quarterback who could understand and run their offense in the event this happened. And so I think right now you love Shady McCoy. Again, only one rushing touchdown, but he got you to 100 yards. So you have to respect that. And Darren Sproles was back into the equation. Jordan Matthews continues to play well. Also, they're starting to work in a second-year guy, Josh Huff. But how about Jeremy Maclin? This was a guy that I wondered. He had been very productive, just always injured. But we all wondered when DeSean Jackson took his 83 catches for 1,332 yards and his 9 touchdowns to Washington, would Macklin be able to replace that production? And now we see why Chip Kelly and the Eagles let him go, because as long as Macklin stays healthy, he can provide and produce the same type of numbers, because it's a system. And Jeremy Macklin, for all of us who remember him coming out of Missouri about 5-6 years ago, speed was the name of the game for him. This boy runs that 4-3. And so for Jeremy Macklin owners, I mean, you've got to be ecstatic. This guy had 345 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. And I think it's just going to continue, not to that magnitude. Defenses are certainly going to pay this guy a hell of a lot of attention. But if you look at his bomb that he caught yesterday, the 58-yard TD and a 60-yard reception, he's running by defenders who are playing off of him. They're not even pressing him. So very impressive there for Jeremy Macklin. I think Mark Sanchez is the enigma in this situation. And just to add for Houston, you know that Ryan Fitzpatrick, as we talked about, as long as he's at quarterback, this team is going to continue to struggle. Victor, chime in. Let us know if you think that Mark Sanchez could possibly be a solution for, you know, not a lot of people, but there are a lot of people who were banking on Nick Foles as their starting quarterback. What do you see in Mark Sanchez as the future? He's probably going to be in the next 4 to 6 games.
You know what, Lance? This show today is very personal to me, because I'm one of those people yet again. I was bitten by the bug this week. And here's the bad part. On the same team, I lost Nick Foles and Ben Tate production. But I also had Jeremy Macklin on the same team as well. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I quickly put in breaking news. Adrian Peterson is considering a plea deal that will allow him to be reinstated immediately back into the NFL. I don't know if that's breaking, but I'm just reading it right now. So if he gets a plea deal and he gets reinstated, I'm about to go pick AP up off the waiver wire, because they need him up in Minnesota. But back to our already scheduled program. Sorry about that.
Hey, Victor, that's okay. Let me just chime in real quick. Just make sure anybody who's going to get Peterson, and I actually seen this yesterday, so I went in my Yahoo League and got him. I had him, dropped him, went back and got him. But just keep in mind, this was the key note for this. Now, if the courts accept the plea deal, a plea equals guilty. And so even if he gets past that issue right there, the NFL could still suspend him if they want to, although time serves as a possibility, but there's no guarantee that the Minnesota Vikings organization will take him back. So pick him up. That's a wise move. I just wanted to say, make sure you don't drop anyone of importance in the event that the Vikings don't welcome him back, or the NFL decides to further reprimand him. That was all. Continue on, sir.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, I'm sorry I jumped in. We can talk about that when you go to the Skins-Minnesota game, because I have my thoughts on that as well, because it falls right under the Ray Wright situation. But we're not there yet. Anyway, I'm in that situation with Mark Sanchez. I quickly put in a waiver request for Mark in the league that I lost Foles in, because they allow that. Sanchez is not going to be your world beater. He threw for 202 yards, 2 TDs, and 2 interceptions. Hence the number 2 in that whole thing. Listen, if you can find a better replacement, great, but in a system that requires you to throw the ball deep a lot or just throw the ball a lot, Mark Sanchez isn't your guy. He's very indecisive at times. And if you notice, Nick Foles was throwing Jeremy Macklin a lot. But when Mark Sanchez got into the game, he targeted Jeremy Macklin maybe 3 times. And he got in the game at the end of the first quarter. So I want you to understand that. His first pass was to Jeremy Macklin. Then the last 2, one was a touchdown and one was for 7 yards through the entire game. Everything else went to who? Matthews. and the other guys, the guys that he practices with. So those are the guys that are going to have the value if you're going to get Mark Sanchez or if you're going to do something with the Eagles. Now, I strongly agree with you about the Texans situation. They're dealing with Jadeveon Clowney, quote-unquote, being a weak player who doesn't want to play through injuries. They've got a quarterback that, by all accounts, should be benched for Ryan Mallett, but it hasn't been there yet. They just lost Arian Foster for an unknown amount of time. Andre Johnson is the feature. DeAndre Hopkins is, and right now he's their only weapon. It's not looking good for the home team. Let's be honest. You, as a fantasy football owner and player, you have to realize that there's not much here in Houston other than J.J. Watt. So you're looking for IDPs and maybe DeAndre Hopkins. Out of blue, yes, you can get him. He's a decent runner, but I don't think he's going to be anywhere near what Arian Foster is, and that also means there's going to be a timeshare. Who's behind Mr. Blue? I forgot, but I guarantee he's going to get some time. So we'll see there. I don't want to eat too much time because I know we got a little bit left and we got a lot of games to go through, but it's a mess. It's a mess. And six teams went on by this week. Another six are next week. It's going to be trouble for a lot of players out there and a lot of fantasy owners. Just my opinion from this one game we're talking about.
Yes,
but
indeed.
But look for McCoy's numbers to go up.
Okay, sure thing there, Victor. I'm with you 100. Let's go ahead and move on to our next ball game, Kansas City at the New York Jets. This was the other question I posed to you, and my projections were dead on, accurate, right, perfect, I must say. My question to you was Jamaal Charles. You never sit him as well, but playing against the New York Jets run defense that is ranked in the top five in the NFL, had only gave it 3 rushing touchdowns. What type of day would Jamaal Charles have? My projection was 13 points. Guess what? Mr. Charles had 13 points, 76 rushing yards, and a touchdown. And if it wasn't for that goal line touchdown, that gift wrap that the Jets always give somebody, he would have had 7 points. So, you know, when I say things, please don't, look at me crazy. Understand somebody's got to take some chances, somebody's got to take some risks, and somebody's got to be realistic. And, again, I did not advise owners. Don't get it twisted. I did not say to sit DeMarco Murray or Jamaal Charles, but on a week where I had a very difficult time finding players to recommend to sit, I posed those questions to you, and those questions got answered, and they were valid. It wasn't a lot of action in this game. Alex Smith had a lucky touchdown catch, one of those top plays, circus plays. One of the Jets tipped the ball in the air. This guy, Anthony Fasano, sitting on the ground, catches it in, gets it for a touchdown. But it wasn't a lot of offense in this one. We knew it was going to be a defensive battle. Mike Vick was hammered all day, left the game again. He's okay. I guess he'll be coming back. But their offense didn't do too much better. Chris Ivory struggled. You knew it was going to happen. Again, that's another thing about me. I don't like putting in players in my lineups who they have to score a touchdown in order to make their day worth their while. And that's what it is with Chris Ivory right now, unless it's a matchup-based situation. Percy Harvin was the guy who shined yesterday. 11 catches, 123 yards. Now, obviously, this is not something that you are going to expect on a weekly basis, but it is worth noting, especially if Michael Vick is going to be in there. Obviously, there is something that Michael Vick sees in Percy Harvin where he's going to be targeting him quite a bit. If he had 11 catches, I'd had to think he had probably had about 15 or 16 targets. I think Miles Davis is a good pickup right now. I poked my head in on that game quite a bit. For what reason exactly? I was playing against Jamaal Charles. So I was peeking in on that game a bit, and what I've seen out of Kansas City is they're trying to keep Charles fresh, and so now Davis gets a lot of work for a backup running back. So I think he's a great handcuff in case Charles gets hurt. But like Victor mentioned, he got 6 byes this upcoming week, a ton of injuries. Running back position is at a premium. Like I said, in deeper leagues, there's no way that he's possibly available. But in 10-man leagues, he should be there, and I think he's an excellent pickup for your team, especially if you're in a league where your skill players get credit if they run back a punt or a kick because he puts in some work in there as well. Anything on that one, Victor, that stood out to you or that should be noteworthy for fantasy owners?
I want to mention one thing. Alex Smith, and you said he had a lucky touchdown, and it was. Fasano caught it while he was on the ground on his butt or whatever. But at one point, Alex Smith was 21 for 23 or 24. And that's a lot of dinking and dunking and stuff like that. And if you notice, Michael Vick only threw to two people the entire game. The entire game. Percy Harvin and one touchdown to Eric Decker. That was it. And, you know, there is no coincidence. I said this a while ago. If you put Michael Vick in there, you use Chris Johnson because the speed option works. Chris Johnson had his best had his best play of the year at 77 yards in this game. Will it, you know, turn into something bigger? I don't know. You know, Rex Ryan was very disappointed in his, or is very disappointed in his team and their performance. But, you know, it was a lot closer than the score indicated, in my opinion. I thought it was a lot closer than what the score indicated. And, yes, Michael Vick was on his back. I think at one point it looked like he banged his head against the ground and had a concussion. But I think he is a guy, if you're in desperate need of a quarterback coming up this week, you can expect a little bit from him because of his running ability and the fact he's going to target the big-time players on that team. Percy Harvin, I think 9 catches, 147 yards. Eric Decker, 3 catches, 1 TD, 40-something yards. But, again, it's an opportunity for fantasy owners to fill a void during a hectic bye week. Not saying he's going to have a lot of points compared to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think I'd go with Michael Vick. That's just my opinion. And I'll let you take over from there, my friend.
Okay, sounds good. And good stuff here on Chris Johnson. You know, I think originally everybody thought the Jets brought Mike Vick and Chris Johnson over for that exact reason, but didn't work out that way. Moving on, Cincinnati beat Jacksonville 33-23. And I sent a toast out yesterday to all my owners on Twitter, on Facebook, myself included, who were able to reap the benefits of Mr. Jeremy Hill. Shout out my man, Mr. Cash Out, Mr. ATM, Jerry Taylor. Picked him up in his draft on the air here before the season started. Had him as a handcuff, and I tell you, that boy looked good. Giovanni Bernard in the lineup for not being able to see this guy carry a full workload. Man, I tell you, this boy looks good, and he's a beast out in the open field as far as getting low behind his pads and finishing off his runs with power, much more powerful and a bigger guy than Giovanni Bernard. Went off 149 yards, 2 touchdowns, had the late one for about 55 yards and really just put that game away. And so word came in from one of my sources who writes for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a short week. Cincinnati plays Cleveland in Cincinnati on Thursday Night Football. To Giovanni Bernard, there is almost 100% chance that he's not going to play this Thursday. And the Browns defense has given up 143 rushing yards a game. You've seen Bobby Rainey. Like I said, I don't know what happened to him in the second half, but the first half he had 17 rushes for 80 yards, and so I think Jeremy Hill now has some value. For most of us, we thought he'd be a 1 week great stick-in. Now it looks like he's going to possibly start. Now that word is not official, but it is a team source, and so you know, there's a good chance that they're going to sit Giovanni Bernard out in this one as well. And if so, Jeremy Hill is going to be an excellent start for you again. Good to see A.J. Green back out there. We're just hoping that toe injury can hold up throughout the course of the season. He's another guy that I think you trade right now. I think that a toe injury is something that is too sensitive. You know, him planting wrong, player stepping on his foot, you know, him going to jump, you know, and it aggravates it. So I think the first time that you had that he had a big game, he's got the name. And he's a beast, don't get me wrong. But I would rather have a healthy player, and I think you can get in some consistency with him because he's got some tough matchups left. Like, for example, this week, whether by chance, whether because of Andy Dalton's weak arm, you know, a lot of things factor into a defensive back being successful. But, look, it's a division game. The Browns very familiar with Cincinnati, and however it works out, Joe Hayden, when A.J. Green faces him, A.J. Green's numbers, they don't add up. And so, you know, I think that's something you want to watch. The guy who I'm loving right now, I picked him up 3 weeks ago when they played Carolina. Man, how about Muhammad Sanu? It's time this guy gets some credit. With Marvin Jones being out the lineup for the whole year, and with A.J. Green missing extensive action, if it was not for Muhammad Sanu, this Bengals team would probably have another couple losses on this record. On 4 catches, 95 yards, a touchdown. And I like about him, he's complete. He can hurt you on the deep ball, and they run a lot of deep routes with him. He can hurt you, you know, run after catch. And he's another guy, reminds me of Emmanuel Sanders. I don't see him drop balls, and he takes some hard hits when he catches the football. So for those of you who have scooped up Muhammad Sanu, and I told people, he's a must-start. This is what I love in fantasy football. I like number two receivers who have a dominant receiver as their starter. So this year for me, Golden Tate, Emmanuel Sanders, and I didn't have Muhammad Sanu because I thought it would be Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones was my guy, although Sanu was listed because Marvin Jones started off hurt. But I love and Terrence Williams. You know, I love these players who can win their one-on-one matchup with the opposing team's number two DB. So even though A.J. Green came back, I was playing this guy with extreme confidence because this is the thing. When Matt Stafford drops back, when Peyton Manning drops back, if Demarius or Calvin is not open, their next immediate look is to Golden Tate or Emmanuel Sanders or, in this case, Muhammad Sanu. So great job by him. Andy Dalton continues to be average. I don't think too many people are starting him right now, just too shaky. And then when you look at Jacksonville, look, let's give him credit from a football standpoint. Gus Bradley has found a way to have his team come out and play competitive. I honestly believe this Jaguars team, if they can make the right moves in free agency and make the right moves in the draft, this is a team on the rise because their talent is young, especially on offense. Yesterday, Denard Robinson, man, he just continues to shine. Didn't hit it 100 yards, had back-to-back games the first couple weeks, but he sure enough had 96 yards in the touchdown. Yes, he did. And so Denard Robinson is now the starter. Toby Gearhart did play yesterday, but there's no way they can keep Denard Robinson off the field. And then Allen Hurns was your lucky winner of the week. We talked about this rookie receiving corps for Jacksonville, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, and it happened to be Allen Hurns yesterday with over 100 yards and 2 TDs. So every week, you know, that pendulum will swing. The week before was Allen Robinson with the 88 yards and 2 TDs. And so, you know, definitely some good talent there in Jacksonville. If you're in deeper leagues, you just have to kind of, you know, kind of the guy you pick that week ends up being the guy who puts up the numbers. Victor, talk to me. Anything you see there that I didn't touch base on or you would like to shed some extra light on?
Only thing is with a short week, yeah, two things. I think Ben Tate might have been saved for this Thursday night game. That's why Terrence West got a lot of run. And Isaiah Crowell didn't get any was Isaiah Crowell for Cleveland, or is he in – I forget where he's at. He might be in St. Louis. Whatever. But I think Ben Tate might get a little run this week. I mean, this Thursday, a little bit more, and they're just trying to save his body. But Giovanni, I'm hurting because of Giovanni. I have him in several of my leagues, and then I went and got Pierman, who isn't going to give you much, but in PPR, he'll get you maybe 15 points, 15 or 20 points, as opposed to a zero. Muhammad Sanu, can't say too much about him because he's a great player, you know, with, like you said, a dominant player like A.J. Green on the other side. So A.J. Green actually had 2 touchdowns called back, one because he was lined up wrong, and the other because of another flag. So give him a week or two to get back in the pace. He might have a breakout game this week against Joe Hayden. But Joe Hayden has locked him down several times. So I don't know. We'll see what happens on Thursday.
All right, sounds good there. Let's push through a couple other games. We'll take a commercial break and then come back, finish up heading into our Monday Night Football. A couple games real quickly that we can swing through. St. Louis, you know what? If you guys would have heard me yesterday, I'm quite sure this would have been a classic soundbite. I'm going to bring these questions to the. Let me hit the stats first because it wasn't much. That's why I got to it. I'm gonna pose a couple questions, and I just want people to think about it. I don't even want you to answer the questions. I don't want to get riled up here on the air. For those of you who don't know, I'm a 49ers fan. So in this one, there wasn't anything to talk about. The Rams defense played extremely well. Not quite sure. I don't think anybody probably had them in their lineup. Missed out on the 8-sack day. 49ers defense played well. I had them. Got me a nice 13 points, 2 interceptions, a sack on rookie quarterback Austin Davis. This was a 13-10 win. So, again, the stats weren't really anything noteworthy. Anquan Boldin had 15 points, 90 yards, a touchdown. And Kenny Britt had a 20-yard touchdown, give him 8 points for St. Louis. Those were your leaders. This is the question that I'm going to pose to everyone out there in regard to the San Francisco 49ers. They played against a rookie quarterback, played against a rookie running back, played against a team who lost its top receiver for the year last week, a team that lost its top tackle for the year last week. This was not the defense's fault. Granted, they gave one touchdown. The field goal that they gave up, the second one, came because punter Andy Lee kicks a 29-yard punt out of his end. He kicked out the end zone, punted it, and it went to the 49ers' 29-yard line. So St. Louis automatically was in field goal range from the very first snap. So it was not the 49ers' defense. You got an offense out here that in the preseason look horrible, and I shook it off. I think most people shook it off, said, you know what, everybody wasn't playing at the same time. This is an offense that cannot pass protect. That is the main reason that they got rid of Alex Smith, is because every time he dropped back to pass, he was under pressure. And Colin Kaepernick gave him a better opportunity to escape pressure, break the pocket, make some plays with his feet, and throw in a run. But my question to you is, let's forget about the rest of the game for a minute. If you got first and goal from the 2-yard line with 25 seconds left on the clock, you got the best running back that your franchise has ever had and your team captain in your backfield, and you got one timeout with 25 seconds left, how in the world do you not hand the ball to Frank Gore? I'm lost. I'm baffled. I can't explain it. And this is my thing, which upset me yesterday when I seen the Dallas game. Teams do this constantly. I talked about this. Me and Jerry talked about this on the master plan. Why in the hell are you running a play on 4th and inches or 4th and goal or a goal line play or a short yardage play where you're handing the football off and the running back is running straight forward behind the center? The fullback's in front of him. The whole line is pushing the center back, and you've got your running back trying to climb up this guy's back to get through the hole. So I'm saying bring some diversity to the table. On 4th and 1 or 1st and goal, why not run a spread set and run a draw? Well, you got Colin Kaepernick, mind you, on a bootleg. And then the other thing that kills me is when these teams run these bootlegs on the goal line, the quarterback, when he comes out of the play action fake, instead of like rolling kind of sideways and up towards the pylon and goal line, this guy is fading backwards. By the time he's throwing the football, he's pulling off his back foot out of the back of the end zone at the 15-yard line. So a pathetic performance. Frank Gore echoed me. I said weeks ago, Victor can back me up on this. This is a team that has completely lost its identity. Colin Kaepernick is not a quarterback who is capable of willing and dealing from the pocket. And if he is, he doesn't have the wide receivers to make it happen. His receivers are possession receivers. Anquan Boldin and Michael Crabtree ain't beat nobody in the foot race. And so a pathetic performance. Colin Kaepernick conveniently fumbles on a quarterback sneak. They lose that game. But it just baffles me that you're playing a team with that much trouble on offense. You're at home and you're off a bye week. You had 2 weeks to prepare for this football game, and this offense can't do anything but manufacture 10 points. A joke to me is what it was. And, hopefully Frank Gore speaking up will help this team get back to running the football. But to be quite honest with you, this team cannot pass protect. That's the bottom line. And the Rams defense, Michael Brockers, Aaron Donaldson, Robert Quinn, they just bowled these guys over. I'm going to leave it there. I'm a very disgusted 49er fan, as I should be. Makes no excuse, and I'll just say this. These guys are done. At 4-4, playoff picture too big. I think the problems are internal. Too late to rebound from all the injuries. This offense is pathetic. Unless they're going to find that running game immediately next week, this team is done. Talk to me, Victor. Anything you want to add to the pathetic, inexcusable, unacceptable performance you've seen from the 49ers yesterday?
My friend, I'm going to tell you right now. I sympathize with, because my Redskins didn't do too well either, but they did look better than the 49ers. Here's the deal. It's the play calling. Both teams, the Redskins and the 49ers, have an issue with play calling right now. When you have dogs that are ready to hunt, you set those dogs loose so they can hunt. Frank Gore needs to run the ball at least 15 to 17 times, and then let Carlos Hyde run the ball maybe 10 or 11 times. Give your team 30 rushes a game. I understand you've got beautiful weapons and Brandon Lloyd, Vernon Davis, Crabtree, and stuff like that. Stevie Johnson, too, but run the ball. Another prime example of why they need to run the ball. On that pass interference call that Crabtree got, it was a right call. Good decision on the ref's part. Bad decision on Kaepernick's part. If you look at the film, you will see, just like in the NFC Championship game last year, the tight end, Vernon Davis, was wide open on a post route. All Kaepernick had to do is throw him the ball, and he would have walked in. It's bad decisions of the play calling, bad decisions on the quarterback throwing the ball. Now, the bootleg on the first and goal, got it. He threw it away. But to me, the next logical play, yeah, okay, maybe quarterback sneak, but no. I would have either ran the option with Frank Gore or just straight up and down, handed it off to Frank Gore. Straight up and down. They hadn't used him that much that game. He had fresh legs. I would have gave it to him. You had, what, 15, 20 seconds and a timeout? So what, he gets stopped at the if he gets stopped at the one-yard line, at least you would have given an opportunity, and you would have had one more crack at the end zone, and you still could have kicked the field goal to send it into overtime. Bad play calling, bad decision-making. Good news is this. Patrick Willis will be back next week. Alden Smith should be back next week, so the defense will get a little healthier, but it won't end until the play calling gets better. And I know you said you wanted to go to a break, so if you're ready to go to break, I can do it. We can do like a 1.5 minute break. You just let me know, and we can come back and finish up. It's up to you, sir.
Yeah, let's sneak in one more game, and then we'll go to break. So when we finish Miami-San Diego, we'll go right to a break and come back, Vic. But I did want to say this as well. Colin Kaepernick, you went through the series of plays there. And like you said, I think that would have been a good option. Play fake, Vernon Davis, hello. But the first play that they ran, how about Colin Kaepernick throwing an accurate enough football, in which earlier in the game, and he'd been very erratic. They had a 3rd and 4, and he missed Crabtree wide open on the slant route. He's drilling the football. He's another guy having issues with knowing how to when to drill the football. Cam Newton has that same issue. You know, every pass is not a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. You need to put touch on it sometimes. Sometimes take a little off. And he threw a pass to Michael Crabtree on the first play. Did Crabtree, I don't even know if he caught it. If they end up letting him keep the catch because the ball didn't cross the plane. But well, how about just throwing an accurate football? If he just threw the ball accurately to Michael Crabtree, Crabtree could have got it for the touchdown, but he threw it for wild and outrageous. So, anywho, 49ers offense ain't going nowhere no time soon. I don't care who come back on defense. The offense is sucking right now. Real quick, this was an easy one to call. Miami at San Diego, nobody's seen this coming. But the Chargers, like the 49ers, like the Jets, like the Falcons, they're done. This Chargers team, after losing week one, 5-game win streak, they've lost 3 in a row. They're 5-4. They're now behind. They're now behind Kansas City, who's already beat them head-to-head. They're lucky Denver lost, so they're only 2 games behind Denver. But they're done. They came into this game. We talked about it, averaging 85 yards a game, 31st in the NFL. Not going to cut it. Phillip Rivers, you know what this reminded me? Yeah, I think it was last year, the year before, they went to Miami. You know what? We've seen the same thing. Phillip Rivers on his back all day. Cameron Wake and his Dolphins defense ain't playing no games, especially if you're coming into Miami. You've seen him give to we talked about it yesterday. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, even though he squeaked out of there with a victory, Jay Cutler on the road. Listen, Cameron Wake, Oliver Vernon, these boys, they are coming. And when you've seen San Diego yesterday, you knew it was going to be a long day. When in the opening drive of the football game on the road in 4th and 1, and you got a kicker like Nick Novak, and you're going for it, and then you're running the football. Are you kidding me? And so Phillip Rivers suffered a hand injury, not serious. He's not going to miss any time, but they're done. And Victor mentioned the Brandon Oliver project is over. As soon as Donald Brown and Ryan Matthews, those guys are healthy enough, you'll start seeing his workload get cut into because he didn't do a damn thing yesterday, and he hasn't done anything since he had those 2 easy games against who was that, Jacksonville and the Raiders. And so he's a guy now that you want to seriously consider thinking about if you want to have him at your flex spot. because they can't run the football. I think we're starting to see they lost their starting center, Nick Hardwick, earlier in the season. And Phillip Rivers had been passing so well, got overlooked. But Kansas City, Denver, Miami, you know, those teams were able to catch up to speed. And so this was all about Miami here. Now, look, for San Diego, look, it's hard to sit Rivers. Nobody suspected him putting up negative 2 points or zero. That's just ridiculous. But Antonio Gates, you like, but they're real shaky. We'll talk about them on another show where we concentrate a little bit more on NFL. As for the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill, good looking there, Mr. ATM. Jerry called it yesterday. Tannehill, excellent backup, 288, three TDs. That was the most aggressive I have seen Ryan Tannehill look all year long. And the guys who benefited there, tight end Charles Clay. We all had him in our top 10 rank coming in, struggled with some knee issues. It's been inconsistent, but two out of the last 3 weeks against Chicago and this week, I had a touchdown over 50 yards. So, again, matchup-based, I don't know what's stopping his consistency, but he's a guy that you want to take a good look at on the bye week coming up. Lamar Miller, not a lot on the ground, but you respect it, the touchdown. He got you double digits. Mike Wallace continues to be a bit shaky as far as yardage is concerned. Didn't find the end zone, so I know his owners are scratching their heads a little bit. Before we head into commercial, though, Victor, anything you want to say? But, again, if you got the Miami Dolphins defense, and I know a lot of people ran to the waiver wire a couple weeks after they dominated against Chicago. We've seen them on paper looking like a top-10 team with Jared Udrich, Randy Stark, Cameron Wake, Vernon Oliver. They're without Danelle Ellerbe. Cole Amisa came back. We got Grimes. They brought over Cortland Finnegan. You bring over Lewis Delmas. They got their safety Rashard Jones back after he missed four games for the drug violation. That defense ain't going nowhere. I can guarantee you they'll be there all year. Victor, talk to us, and we'll go right into a break and come right back on the extra point.
All right, I'll tell you this. Miami's looking kind of bad at the running back position. Lamar Miller has a sprained MCL. Unknown amount of time he's going to be out. So that means that Daniel Thomas. See, that's why I am Mr. FSP, Mr. NFL Exporter. That means Daniel Thomas is going to get an extended workload going into week 11. Also, that means Damian Williams might get a little bit of work as well. So you don't know how long he's going to be gone. How will that impact Ryan Tannehill? I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is if you got an opportunity and you need a starting running back, might not be that effective, but if you need a starting running back, Daniel Thomas is out there in a lot of leagues. So I would scoop him up if I were you. Also, in this game, Phillip Rivers looked awful, just awful. Originally, it was reported by Yahoo that he got pulled because of his hand. No, the coach pulled him. He got you negative 2 yards in standard leagues. In PPR, or my type of PPRs, he got you like a lot more than negative 2, meaning it was a lot less. Like negative 12 or something like that. Three interceptions and stuff like that. Can't tell you what to do, but that dream of Phillip doing really, really well, I don't know what's going on, but it might be going down in flames. As I said earlier, Donald Brown is returning. Ryan Matthews should return in a couple of weeks, if not next week. But I believe they have a bye week coming up. And Brandon Oliver is still in the mix. So that's a three-headed monster right there in San Diego. The defense is doing decent. But they're ultra-competitive in that AFC West, especially with Peyton Manning getting the butt-whooping he took yesterday. It's all in. It's all in. You're all out. Yes, sir.
Hey, Victor, real quick before we go to a commercial, this is also what I wanted to tell people. When you look into these games, fantasy, but also from a betting standpoint or picking the games outright, really look deep in behind these matchups, because what I did not know about this game yesterday, and we've seen this a couple times this year, and we're going to see it when we get to our Pittsburgh game here in just a minute, but look behind the numbers. Do you recall when Detroit played Buffalo and Detroit a few weeks ago or earlier in the season, Jim Schwartz, former head coach of Detroit, defensive coordinator for the Bills, knew a lot about Matt Stafford, that offense, and the Bills defense played that game for him. Did not know that head coach Joe Philbin's father had passed away this week, so the Dolphins came out and played for him. And so that was a big part of that effort that you seen yesterday. And so make sure and it should peek in behind the numbers to these games, because you'll find out sometimes why a certain team may play as motivated or as good as they do. On that note, let's run to a commercial break. It's the NFL reporter, Mr. FSP. You're listening to The Extra Point. Come back. We got 15 minutes till game time. We'll quickly run through our games and give our predictions for the fantasy studs for tonight. We'll be right back.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the master plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the Extra Point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on The Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for that, and welcome back. It's almost game time tonight. Like we said, quite sure a lot of people got Giants and Colts. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's go ahead and push through the rest of these games here. We have Minnesota squeaking out a tough one yesterday against Washington, and like I am the 49ers expert, Mr. FSP, Victor Gardner, is the Redskins expert, so I'll let him jump on this in a minute. Basically, from what I've seen, look, I think RG3 played well, considering the guy who's been off the football field. Let's face it, since last year, I mean, he played one game, week one against Houston. He was out, a few minutes into the first quarter against Jacksonville, coming and talking about a guy who was off a dislocated ankle. And to go 18 for 28, 255 yards, a touchdown and an interception in his first game back on the road against a very tough Mike Zimmer defense. I can live with that. I think the main thing for what I'm seeing like in RG3, which I mentioned in the preseason, I just hope his knee can get back fully healed, because this is a guy who is going to have to reinvent himself if he's not going to be able to run away from defenders. Right now, he can't even run away from defensive ends and linebackers, and that's something he used to do with his eyes closed. And again, it hurts him because he used to sit in the pocket into the last second and then break out the back door and pick up the yards on the ground. And it may not seem like much, but picking up 6 yards, 4 yards, 8 yards, 11 yards here and there, he keeps the chains moving. He keeps the Redskins in manageable second and third down situations. And so I know it's not the big numbers that you want, but again, I think for a guy fresh off an injury, playing that tough of a defense on the road, I think 250, a touchdown, an interception, I'll give him probably like a B-minus. Again, he can't use his legs, and so he's got to reinvent himself. That was a major portion of his game. And then also, the last throw that he had to Garcon, I know he wishes he could have it back. But again, I think it's just Russ more than anything. Garcon was open, throwing across his body, just couldn't get it out there. Alfred Morris Shine, thank you very much, Mr. Morris. I had him and Mark Ingram going this week in my ESPN league, which I'm now 6-3. So Alfred Morris, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. Still didn't get those 20-plus carries, but he was involved more, and you like to see that. DeSean Jackson continues to be a beast. Again, we talked about it yesterday between him and Garcon, who was going to do what this year. Again, with DeSean's speed, you can't turn away from it. Hooked up with RG3 on some deep balls. DeSean Jackson's a baller. Let's face it. Outside of the year that he was upset for not getting paid in Philly, if he's been in the lineup, this guy is a very good ball player. He needs his credit. Jordan Reed, Pierre Garcon, again, after the bye week, maybe RG3 gets him a little more involved. DeSean Jackson's your main guy. For Minnesota, Teddy Bridgewater played well. those wide receivers. We warned you. Nobody did anything. Touchdown to some no-name tight end. And then Matt Asiata, look, don't depend on that weekly. It was an opportunistic, an opportunity-based situation. Those three touchdowns. Jerry McKinnon, I believe, is still the guy. Asiata is going to be your short yardage guy. And, again, if you recall those two games he had those years with those three touchdowns against Atlanta, against Washington yesterday, and it was very similar. A whole bunch of goal line, short yardage, opportunities to cash in. Let's now go over to Victor. He'll be able to give us some more insight and some great details as far as the Redskins' offense, and particularly RG3, and maybe you can fill us in on if Garcon and Reed are going to be this inept the rest of the season. Is it strictly going to be a Morris and Deshaun Jackson show?
To be quite honest with you, Lance, I'll tell you, RG3 is going to be more selective with who he throws the ball to. I did notice something on the sideline that could become a problem in the future, and that is Deshaun Jackson lobbying for more passes his way. And Jay Gruden made a comment last week about, you know, receivers being vocal during halftime and stuff like that, and I put two and two together, and I say that it's Deshaun Jackson. He might become more of a distraction than he is a playmaker, and he's one hell of a playmaker. What does that mean for the other players on the team? Jordan Reed will get his attention. If you notice, at the end of that game, that's where RG3 went. He didn't go to Deshaun. Deshaun is your deep threat. Pierre is your medium threat. And then Reed is your short yardage threat, who can take the ball and do things because he's such a big athletic player. But the key here was they ran Alfred Morris. Yes, he only got the ball 17 times, but he got, I believe, 80-something yards on those 17 rushes. RG3. Ended the game the same way Kirk Cousins ended the game one time this year with a fourth and short and throwing at the feet of the receiver who's going across his body, and he's going wide open. And it's sure enough going to be a first down, if not a touchdown. The deal is this, and the key is this, running Alfred Morris, which allows that defense to, I guess, stay a little healthy and warm on the sideline. But for whatever reason, Jim Haslett abandoned an attack style of defense this week. I don't understand why. I really don't. But I did notice that a lot of the wide receivers for Minnesota were running wide the freak open during that game, and it was on David Amerson. That's who they decided to pick on, David Amerson, yesterday. And with that being the case, he's going to need a lot of help. Rashad Breeland has developed into a very, very good man-to-man corner. With that being said, it's nothing Minnesota did. It was all what Washington didn't do that got them that loss yesterday. So with that being said, I don't put any stock in Teddy Bridgewater because he threw a lot of ducks yesterday and he missed a lot of open passes. Cordarrelle Patterson, again, not somebody to put stock in. Matt Asiata vultured the touchdowns from McKinnon. But if the news is right and AP takes a plea deal, he's back by week 13, all this goes to rest. And you might have a different style of play because at the same time, guess who else comes back? Kyle Rudolph. So then Minnesota becomes somewhat of a decent team. But yesterday, that was everything the Skins didn't do that gave Minnesota the win. That being said, I'll leave it alone because I know we only have a few minutes and we want to talk about tonight's game.
How many minutes we got left?
About 6 minutes.
Okay, yeah, let's just quickly, we can touch them. We won't go into the stats. I think most stuff is self-explanatory. New England polished off Denver 43-21. Everybody shine who for New England, who you thought, Gronkowski, Brandon LaFell found the end zone, Tom Brady, another four TD passes. The Patriots continue to steamroll Peyton Manning. I'm disappointed in him. I'll definitely be getting on him in some of the shows. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he cowers up. In case you haven't heard Peyton Manning, it's no longer Ty Law and Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison and those guys out there. You need to line up in five wide receivers or four wide receivers. You threw 55 touchdowns last year. You broke the yardage record. You've got the top weapons in your passing game. Stop being conservative. Stop wearing your panties when you play in New England. And come out and spread the football out and throw the damn football. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Ronnie Hillman had a couple of touchdowns. Emmanuel Sanders had over 100 in the air. Julius Thomas, thankfully, found an end zone, or he would have been a dud for three straight weeks. We'll have to get on him on another show as well, 30 yards. I don't know what the hell happened to him, but New England rolled on. Again, just very disappointed in Peyton Manning. It just kills me how sorry he plays against New England. Seattle versus Oakland, I think this one played out how we thought. Seattle, I think the score ended up being what it was, and that's how I think most people thought that Oakland were going to give them a game. Again, this is not the same Seahawks team. They got up early. But Oakland made a push. Nonetheless, 30-24, the best thing the fantasy owners were able to do yesterday to get some comfort. Three straight games, no touchdown for Marshawn Lynch. Finally got it back rolling yesterday. Had about 150 all-purpose yards, two touchdowns. So happy to see him back in beast mode. And then for Pittsburgh at Baltimore, Benjamin Roethlisberger, shout out, Mr. Cash Out, Mr. ATM. Man, back-to-back weeks, six touchdowns, nobody's seen this coming. But this guy is hot right now, and the weapons he's got working for him. Look, Antonio Brown, to me, is the best wide receiver in football right now. I don't even care right now. I don't care if Calvin comes back healthy. Nobody right now has had nine straight games of five catches and 80 yards. Nobody has 27 straight games with at least five catches. And this guy, once he gets his hands on the football, he reminds me of Shady McCoy. I mean, this guy, the way he cuts, slices on the dime, got a stiff arm, like a 300-pound running back. I mean, this guy is the truth. Another 10 catches, another 130 yards, a couple more TDs add on his resume. How about Martavis Bryant, though? We spoke about him. One of my top waiver wire pickups. Warned you about him. This guy is shining. Ben is just spreading the football around. NFL record, 12 TDs in the past 2 weeks. Again, I think at this point, I don't want to say you're not going to expect six, but him and Todd Haley's relationship has certainly worked itself out. A lot of friction in Haley's first year there, but him and Big Ben are definitely on the same page. And Roethlisberger is going to continue to air it out. Le'Veon Bell is a guy out the backfield, caught a touchdown. You always like his all-purpose ability, even when it's going tough on the ground. As for Baltimore, just a bad outing, and this is what I was talking about. I think for those of you who might have known that the Steelers were going to be retiring Joe Green's jersey last night, it factored in. There was no way in hell that Pittsburgh's defense with Dick LeBeau and Mike Tomlin were going to let those Steelers come out and play bad when they were going to be retiring Joe Green's jersey. So I think that had a lot to do with it. Torrey Smith had a touchdown. Other than that, not much to talk about. We'll get into that in some other shows. Victor, talk to me. Indianapolis, the Giants. Give me two players from Indianapolis, two players from the Giants who are going to put up some fantasy points tonight.
Of course, Andrew Luck, but I also look for Kobe Fleener to have a good game in this game. He doesn't get that many targets, but when he does, he makes things happen with the ball, along with Dwayne Allen. You got to remember that Reggie Wayne is down, so that wide receiver that took his place is going to step up. But how do you need to step up? He's having a homecoming. He needs to do it. On the other side of the ball, I look for Peyton Hillis to overtake some of the running duties from Williams. And, of course, Odell Beckham. But don't be afraid to get Lonnie Donnell in this game, because that's going to be a big target for Eli Manning. Your turn. And we got 60 seconds.
No problem. I'm with you. Let's go T.Y. Hilton and Ahmad Bradshaw getting a complete workload with, I believe, I might be wrong, I thought Trent Richardson was out. But let's go with Ahmad Bradshaw and T.Y. Hilton for the Giants. Andre Williams, I struggled a bit. I like him at home as well as Odell Beckham Jr. Don't think he can go wrong there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It is the Extra Point with the NFL Exporter. Make sure you're with me every single Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We review our predictions from the Master Plan, which comes on at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at NFL Exporter, Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. I've got tons of owners over there who post to the page, real interactive. Quite sure everybody would enjoy that. For both of those, the spelling is NFLEXPORTER. Before we get out of here, anything, Victor?
No, it's your show, baby boy. We got to bounce.
All right. Well, everybody, enjoy the game tonight. Best of luck for all of you who need a Giant or a Colt to succeed, or not to succeed. I am just kicking my feet up, enjoying this one with all of my W's already in the bag. It's the NFL Exporter. You have been listening to The Extra Point. I will see you next Monday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, signing off 1100.
And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL Exporter has done it again. No one on the corner line, swagger like her.